This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Emory University campus shooter is dead, say Atlanta police, hours after firing from atop a campus drugstore. Some of the gunfire posted on social media. Police say one officer was wounded. Atlanta Police Chief Darren Shirebaum.
So officers moved quickly to attempt to find the shooter and to neutralize the threat to the community. We later found the shooter on the second floor of the CPS. He had been struck by gunfire. We do not know at this time whether that was from officers or if it was self-inflicted.
In southwest Montana, police arrested Michael Brown, accused of killing four people at a bar in Anaconda a week ago. Top local law enforcer, Austin Knudsen.
Was he technically armed? Yes, he was technically armed. I don't know how much further I want to go with that. I think that's as far as I'm going to go.
Evacuations because of a fast-moving wildfire in Southern California. President Trump says he'll meet a week from today in Alaska with Russian President Putin. This is ABC News. Transgender Air Force service members are being forced out of the military and now will likely also lose their access to their retirement benefits as well.
All transgender service members are being separated from the military under President Trump's policies. Those nearing the 20-year retirement mark were allowed to apply for early retirement benefits. The Air Force had approved about a dozen transgender members who had served for 15 to 18 years for early retirement, but now say those notices were premature.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Big box retailer Bed Bath & Beyond returning after bankruptcy under a new name. It's now called Bed Bath & Beyond Home. The brand has opened a new brick-and-mortar store in Nashville. It's not funny, it's dangerous, and a problem. Those are some of the reactions from WNBA players and coaches to a string of incidents where people have been throwing sex toys onto the court during games. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the New York Mets. Milwaukee, the first team in the majors to have 70 wins. They are four games ahead of the Cubs after beating the Braves Wednesday, thanks to Isaac Collins, Blake Perkins, Sal Frelick, manager Pat Murphy.
I'm proud of the guys. I mean, they find ways. They keep going, keep the pressure on. Somebody else every night. I mean, I guess Collins is every night. But then, like, Perk was incredible. He had a great game. Yelly always comes up big for us. Sal hasn't played in a while. I had three hard contacts on base three times. Ortiz is, you know, finds a way to get involved offensively. And, of course, defensively, he's been great.
NFL, the Packers host the New York Jets 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
There's a lot that goes into those preseason games in regards to the evaluation process. It's live football, unscripted looks, unscouted looks. And you want to see how these guys react.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Wednesday has been a big hit for Netflix, winning four Emmys last year. The show, a loose spinoff of the Addams Family, follows Wednesday Addams as she comes to terms with her powers during her years at the Nevermore Academy. Wednesday stars Jenna Ortega, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Fred Armisen, and Nightlight regular Jamie McShane. The first part of season two is currently available on Netflix, and the final four episodes will drop September 3rd. There's news about the summer I turned pretty. Not the summer I Pete Schwab turned pretty. Still waiting for that. But actual news about the Amazon Prime show. The show is based on a book trilogy of the same title and for the most part has gone step by step with the storylines. Producers of the show have decided to go off book, so to speak, and add a sex scene. No word yet on as to what the sex scene entails or to what base the characters go to. My guess is they go all the way, but it could just be third base. The story follows a love triangle between Isabel and brothers Jeremiah and Conrad. Sounds saucy. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwab, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Warm and muggy tonight with showers and thunderstorms around. Some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and heavy rainfall. A low in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, and still pretty humid, highs in the low 80s. Currently, it's 87.
Pete Schwab.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome creator of the show Instability, Fallon Buchholz, and Wisconsin-based comedian Trevor Kumpner joins me in the studio. Can't wait to light up a Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We are always honored to have State Senator Mary Kunish on our Fridays, and it's great to see you. You hear me okay, State Senator?
I hear you. We had a little blip there, but I hear you just fine now.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, one of the things that we wanted to talk about was it's the 60th anniversary of the voting rights, and maybe we can lead off the show with a little of that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yesterday was the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act here in the United States, and I issued a press release that specifically kind of focused on Native American rights because all our communities of color and you know, our LGBTQ community, any community that's been viewed historically as less than have really been intentionally disenfranchised or, you know, there's been legislation or different ways to keep them from voting the way that the majority, you know, sometimes the majority racist people want people to vote. And so, the Voting Rights Act came about in 1965, and it really supposedly transformed the political landscape for the United States by prohibiting any kind of racial discrimination in voting. And we know that it wasn't until 1975, there was an amendment to that act that had specific provisions to address the voting rights of American Indian, Alaska Natives, and other language minority groups. And that was because there was a lot of intentionality at number one, not informing them or educating our indigenous communities, our reservations, you know, or even our urban core around their voting rights. And then oftentimes there were, you know, all kinds of different ways that communities attempted to limit voting opportunities for indigenous people, especially like in greater Minnesota or where there are our Native communities are far from an urban core, not having polling places nearby where, you know, that community would have to travel hours and hours and hours. Oftentimes they were put in locations that were not friendly to Indigenous or folks of color. So at the police station or, you know, at the local jail or something like that, where nobody really wants to visit.
Right.
You know, forever, again, there was no education around around your rights to vote, to let our Native folks. And I've told this story many times, but maybe 4 years ago, 6 years ago, I was working on Get Out the Vote in Indian Country here in Minnesota, and went up and spoke with some of our kind of remote communities and elders specifically. And there were more people than not who didn't even know that they could vote in their local elections or at the federal level. They just thought, I can only vote on tribal issues. And, you know, that's in this day and age. And I've also shared that, you know, I think my grandpa was in his late 20s before he got the right to vote. And never was encouraged or educated around the ability to vote. So I'm just really glad that we're looking at this and talking about the anniversary now. It's been 60 years. Voting shouldn't be that big of an issue, but we know that there it still is a huge problem, and there are always barriers. I mean, geographic isolation. One thing that Minnesota did that was really cool is that we created mobile voting booths, so like a little trailer that would travel around. Because, you know, if you measure from where somebody lives in greater Minnesota and the closest polling place, and, you know, that's only like 15, 20 miles. But if they have remote roads and they have to go around the lake and, you know, we vote in November. In November, we generally have tons of snow here in Minnesota.
Right.
So we're really looking at ways to remove a lot of the barriers. And we've seen in other states, especially requirement for specific forms of identification, like you have to bring in your birth certificate or your passport, which, you know, this is another thing at the federal level. There's been legislation proposed where you have to bring in your birth certificate.
Yeah.
What a vote. How many women take their husband's name?
Exactly.
And their names do not match their birth certificate. And that totally, I mean, women, again, are one of those groups that have historically been disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen in all these elections, these midterm or different elections, especially if abortion or women's right for reproductive rights are under question. Even in the red states, women are voting at higher rates to protect their own, their own rights.
Exactly.
And so these are the things that are happening. And it might be the anniversary, but I'm, you know, I, for one, am really worried about what's going on at the federal level when they're talking about redistricting.
Yeah. Well, let me remind everyone out there, too, in 1928, Native Americans were able to vote on their own country for the first time. But a lot of it, as you were kind of alluding to, a lot of it didn't really, all over the United States, didn't really happen until 1965, I believe. And so there were a lot of pockets around. I heard an interesting story, too. I can't remember who was up north with Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and they were at a parade up there, and the natives up there didn't even know she was running for a senator. I mean... There's a lot of information that's being withheld, and we need to really get it out there, because the problem that the Republicans see is that we outnumber them, and they're doing everything again to stop our vote. And I know I talked to Arvina Martin, who's head of in Wisconsin. She's a head of the helping people get elected, and I always vote early, and I make that a point now, just in case something weird happens on election day.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can come up. And I think that's one of the really great things that we, again, have here in Minnesota mm-hmm. is you can vote in person early. You can submit your ballot early. We've done, you know, just so many different things in order to ensure that we're removing those barriers. And I know there are plenty of people that would like to rebuild those barriers and make sure, you know, that people who have every right to vote are not able to do that. And I mean, if we want to make America great again, it has to start with our freedom and our independence and our ability to vote without intimidation and vote the way we want to vote.
Exactly. Hey, why don't we take a quick break here? We're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just talking our weekly chat here on Fridays, and we're talking about the anniversary of the voting rights, and we have more to talk about. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's Robert Pilot. I'm here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking about some things that are happening locally and nationally, and an anniversary last about the 60th anniversary of the voting rights, and just how I think it's really important that you and I and people talk about this, because, you know, 2026 is coming up quick, and we have issues with redistricting and gerrymandering and all these things, and with Texas and people less voting places in highly minority areas, BIPOC areas. So they're really trying to stack the deck against us here. And I think it's important that we talk about it. State Senator, welcome back.
Thanks very much. I'm so nervous, and I'm like almost sick to my stomach at the thought of what's going on out there. And Texas isn't the only state that, from what I understand, is considering doing some redistricting now. And usually redistricting only happens after a census. So every 10 years, we have a national census. And I know we know that Trump already wants to, I think you mentioned when he wants to redo the census.
Right.
And not include specific groups of people.
Exactly.
So after you do the census, you look at your population, and then they're divided into voting districts. And I almost think that Trump sort of half-heartedly, off the cuff said, oh, we should just redistrict everything to protect the very thin, slim majority that Republicans have in the House out in the federal government, not here in Minnesota. No, we're talking about nationally.
Right.
So, it's going to be a big fight for the House in 2026. There's a slim majority in the House towards Republicans. And so Texas is actually, and I was out in Boston on Monday meeting with the Quad Caucus. So that's the African American, Native American, Asian South Pacific, and Latino legislators to see how we can push back against what is happening in Texas. And they're trying really, really hard in Texas, the Republicans, to give the Republicans 5 more seats in the state. And that would ensure that they keep their very narrow majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. I don't know how they will do this, if they're going to be able to do it. But if this is the beginning, then we're going to see a total takeover, unconstitutionally, un-American takeover by redistricting just to make all these majority Republican districts.
Well, we have Governor Newsom, too, of California, threatening right back to do the same thing, to pick up 6 seats in California. So this could be a major cluster just because, we're going to be redistricting. And, that tells me that the Republicans are really, really afraid of losing both the House and Senate this next election. And they're doing whatever they can.
Yeah, I think they're very nervous. And I think we've been seeing in some of these big votes that are happening in the states, like I mentioned before, around reproductive rights for women, didn't always go the way they thought. And when we look at some of the other elections that have happened in the last year or so, non-Republicans are starting to, take the lead in those seats. But I'm just not really sure how we can make sure this isn't going to happen anymore, and that everybody isn't just going to.
Well, Governor Abbott sounds like Trump now and saying things that he can arrest them and do things. And he's just making things up, because we do have a constitution, even though I did read somewhere that Trump took off a few of the things of the constitution that are very important to us on their website. So I don't know if he's just seeing if people are paying attention or what, but this is getting more and more frightening the minute we get going here. Again, it's good that we're talking about this.
Yeah. And it was interesting, again, what happened in Texas is that when they had their House panel vote on Saturday to, accept or to move the redrawn map that gives Republicans the majority, many of the Democrats in that state left the state of Texas. Yep. And they left in an effort to make sure that there wasn't quorum,
right?
And so that we couldn't. And it's sort of reminiscent of what happened here in Minnesota this spring, when the Republicans in this state claimed the majority and that they were going to, they wouldn't accept the election of one of the DFL, the Democrats, in the House. Right. And that gave the Republicans the majority, and the Dems said, no. That's legit. You know, it was very close, but it was a legitimate victory for that state representative. And so the House members, the DFL House members, didn't show up to the Capitol. They didn't show up on the floor of the House in order to, not have quorum and allow the Republicans to basically take over. And I'm trying to think of how long they did that for. It was a couple of weeks for sure.
Oh yeah, it was over a month. But what's interesting is the press was really on the Democratic side, which isn't always the case when you see a lot of our right-wing press like KSTP. They were getting legitimate polls that said that the people were for, waiting this out and getting the right count on the legislators. So that was one heartening thing that I saw during that. But you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you brought that up because I almost forgot all about that.
Yeah, I did too until somebody mentioned it yesterday when we were talking about that. Oh my gosh, that was just, 5 months ago, and how quickly we forget. But we were, the Dems, DFL persevered, and they're like, we're not coming back until we have a formal agreement. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, and it was led by Melissa Hortman, our beloved assassinated leader, who was the brilliant mastermind to ensure that we were doing things the Democratic way, the correct way. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the Republicans ended up agreeing to what she agreed to in the first place. So had that been, we wouldn't have had, goofy upon goofy upon goofy session that we can't even remember anymore. But it's, I say bravo to those Dems that are making sure that we aren't basically defacing our state, our national and our state constitutions, and that we are upholding the right. People voted us in, and when they deny the right of a representative to represent their community, we're slipping into fascism. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're already there. I don't know if we're slipping into it. I think we're more like China right now. And each day it's worse and worse. So there's really got to be a big push. And people, again, it's great that we're talking about this, because look at what I forgot about what happened 5 months ago. I mean, there is so much going on. And just like when Trump first became president, he just threw 100 things against the wall. And see what stuck, and most of it was illegal, but it really had us flailing and going, what's going on here, and not being able to pay attention. And here we are 6 months later, and nothing's changed. There's things happening as we're speaking, that they're putting out there, and they like to put things out on the weekend, so you can't really respond to it.
Right. It's the playbook of confusion, chaos, uncertainty, what's going to happen next? We don't even know where to go. All of those things.
Yeah. Well, we got a minute left here. And I just want to say I really appreciate what you guys are doing. There's elections coming up, and maybe we can talk about a couple of those elections locally that are coming up. Sure. Because, again, for me, that's kind of confusing. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's people passing away. People getting convicted of breaking into their stepmother's house, and there's all these other things happening. So maybe we can touch base on that in the next segment.
Okay, I can do that.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Emory University campus shooter is dead, say Atlanta police, hours after firing from atop a campus drugstore. Some of the gunfire posted on social media. Police say one officer was wounded. Atlanta Police Chief Darren Shirebaum.
So officers moved quickly to attempt to find the shooter and to neutralize the threat to the community. We later found the shooter on the second floor of the CPS. He had been struck by gunfire. We do not know at this time whether that was from officers or if it was self-inflicted.
In southwest Montana, police arrested Michael Brown, accused of killing four people at a bar in Anaconda a week ago. Top local law enforcer, Austin Knudsen.
Was he technically armed? Yes, he was technically armed. I don't know how much further I want to go with that. I think that's as far as I'm going to go.
Evacuations because of a fast-moving wildfire in Southern California. President Trump says he'll meet a week from today in Alaska with Russian President Putin. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the New York Mets. Milwaukee, the first team in the majors to have 70 wins. They are four games ahead of the Cubs after beating the Braves Wednesday, thanks to Isaac Collins, Blake Perkins, Sal Frelick, manager Pat Murphy.
I'm proud of the guys. I mean, they find ways. They keep going, keep the pressure on. Somebody else every night. I mean, I guess Collins is every night. But then, like, Perk was incredible. He had a great game. Yelly always comes up big for us. Sal hasn't played in a while. Had three hard contacts on base three times. Ortiz is, you know, finds a way to get involved offensively, and of course defensively he's been great.
NFL, the Packers host the New York Jets 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
There's a lot that goes into those preseason games in regards to the evaluation process. It's live football, unscripted looks, unscouted looks, and you want to see how these guys react.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Eddie Murphy has pretty much been an open book for most of his incredibly impressive career. He was a highly successful comedian, one of the most popular SNL actors ever, and has had a lengthy movie career packed with several blockbusters like Beverly Hills Cop and Trading Places. That did not stop him from pointing out some of the blemishes on his resume in a recent interview with Complex 360. Murphy had no problem discussing some of his clunkers, which included maybe what Murphy considers to be his biggest bomb, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. The sci-fi comedy came out in 2002 and is also one of the biggest flops of all time after bombing with critics and only making $7 million against a $100 million budget. 1998's Holy Man is also on his list and lost big bucks, but when asked about his critically panned comedy Norbit, where Murphy played several different characters, Murphy held his ground and said he loved the movie. More honesty like this, please. Love Eddie Murphy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Warm and muggy tonight with showers and thunderstorms around. Some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and heavy rainfall. A low in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend. Scattered showers and thunderstorms and still pretty humid. Highs in the low 80s. Currently it's 87.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Take a look back at the big sports events. The Packers kick off the preseason, and the Brewers try to continue the winning streak, and a little news as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha! Hicha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking a little about politics nationally, locally, and also voter rights and how that's affected Indian country and our BIPOC relatives. Now, here in Minnesota, there's a few elections happening, and maybe we can talk a little bit about those. I know the governor has to set up a special election, and I'm not 100% sure if the state senator has resigned. Did she resign?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
There's so much going on. Thank you.
There is a lot going on. We had a state senator that was convicted of a felony of breaking into her stepmother's house to get some of the items that that her late father had left and that she felt were not given to her as they should have been or were specified to be. So Nicole Mitchell resigned, which that then means that we have to fill that Senate seat. Minnesota state legislative session doesn't begin until February 17th of next year, 2026. And so in the meantime, there are a number of special elections. So in the Senate, we have to replace Nicole Mitchell. And then one of our seasoned state senators, Senator Anderson, passed away. He had served for like 30 years between the House and the Senate. He had been a legislator for his district for around 30 years, and he passed away. So we have two seats that need to be passed, need to be filled. And if you remember, earlier this year, we had another seat for another special election. Well, actually two. Again, things that we don't remember, but our beloved leader, Carrie Dietzick, passed away. And so,
oh my God, yes,
that was this year,
right?
So she, we had a special election, and our DFL candidate Doran Clark was successful in keeping that seat. And then the Republican that was soliciting minors, do you remember him?
Yes, I sure do.
And so he resigned right away, and we have a new and that's GOP member, right. So we have a new GOP member, and then so those two already this year, and now we'll have two more that we need to fill. But interesting enough, on the DFL side, to fill Nicole Mitchell's seat are two of our House members that are looking to become senators. So there's a good chance that one of them will get that seat. And if that happens now, then the House has to have another special election.
Wow.
So I think this might be the record number of special elections for Minnesota. It just sort of keeps piling up. And of course, the House also has to replace Melissa Hortman's seat.
Yeah.
So it's sort of never ending, these special elections. And I'm thankful that we don't start our session until the middle of February, because I think we're all still in a place of mourning. Mm-hmm. I think we're all, you know, experiencing some form of PTSD.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that we have to get all of our caucuses in order, we're going to need time, and we're going to need the opportunity to heal and understand how we're going to put everything back in order and make for the best that we can for Minnesota.
Well, also, too, things have come up, especially since Melissa Hortman's murder, and one of them is the safety of our lawmakers. That's got to be heavy on your mind and a lot of people. How are these people getting in there? How are people not? I did see on the news out one of the, I believe, senators or state representative, I can't remember, she was upset that she didn't hear about any of this going on until 2 hours later.
Well, you know, the morning of, was it June 14th or July 14th?
June 14th, right?
Yeah. You know, when Melissa Hortman, July 14th, when Melissa Hortman and her husband were murdered, and then the murderer went over to Senator Hoffman, and he and his wife were shot through the door. Luckily, their daughter was not killed. You know, nobody has experienced that here in Minnesota. And so, you know, we can say they should have done this, they should have done that. I mean, I think the worst thing that came, I can't say the worst, but so many bad things that came out of this whole situation is that they did not go into the Hortman home and for over an hour after the shots. And that's when they found Melissa Hortman. So, I mean, this is uncharted territory for everyone and all of us. And I, you know, I was notified very early in the morning. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, should I leave? Should I stay? Do you hunker down? If you leave and somebody's out there watching your house, are they going to follow you and follow you to wherever you're going to go? And, you know, oftentimes we went to a loved one's, you know, another family member or, you know, other places. I think the big question for a lot of us is the kind of jeopardy we put our family members and our neighbors and our staff in, as well as being a legislator. I mean, where I live, we're a very tight-knit community, and I don't want my neighbors to, you know, feel not safe. I don't want, you know, I want my grandchildren to be here at my house. Do I not bring my grandchildren? Because one of them was with me, and that morning I just thought, wow, what if he had gotten in here? Because, you know, there was that list and I was on that list. What if he had come here? The Hortmans is not too far from here. So yes, the safety is of the utmost concern. Most of us, or all of state legislators, now have the opportunity to get home security in their homes. And I can say that my house is now, for the first time in my lifetime, I have home security. It's kind of weird to have that, but I'm also very thankful. And then, you know, we talk about how do we keep ourselves safe? Not, you know how you used to say, oh, who's going to blah, 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 I'm going to go here, or I'm going on vacation, or I'm on vacation, or, you know, this, that, or the other, you know, being very careful about how much you share with the public. Most of our addresses have been scrubbed from a lot of the website and social media. You know, everybody make a plan. What's your plan? Who's your backup? Who's your emergency call? And those sort of things. But, you know, now what we really need to be concentrating on is the security at the state capitol, because until now we have had basically no security, no formal security other than Capitol security. Yes, we have sergeant at arms and Capitol security, but, you know, we didn't, people could still conceal and carry, bring their guns into the Capitol. And, you know, we saw a number of examples of intimidation by guns, including, you know, a certain state representative or state senator who loved to show off his gun tucked into the back of his pants in my education finance committee. Jeez. And, you know, just, what was it, 2 weeks ago, they found a naked man in our state Senate chambers in the middle of the night.
And he came back twice.
Yeah, they got him. And it turned out that he had put something in one of the doors to come back later. Oh. And he did. Now, how he got into the chamber, I don't know. Because even when I go in there, it's all locked up. Unless they know that I'm coming, it's not unlocked. And so, yeah, they took him to the psych ward where they evaluated him, decided he wasn't dangerous to himself or others, and let him go. And he went right back to the Capitol again. So we now know that they are taking a lot more precautions. And even a Republican county sheriff is calling for better security. So when you come in, you have to go through, a security thing, a metal detector. Yeah. We've tried for years. And when I say we, I say Dems, have tried for years to not allow guns in the Capitol. And maybe now we'll be able to get that one done. Yeah. But yeah, it's scary. It's really scary. And a lot of people have asked me, like, are you going to run again? Are you going to keep doing this? Are you scared? And there are, a lot of people that are rethinking, are they going to run for office given what's happening? And I'm just really worried that some really, really good people that might have stepped up to serve in a civic way will not, because of what's going on.
Wow. Yeah. Geez, I can't even imagine. And, to me, I come to the Capitol a lot, and it's pretty, I like that it's open and then you can just come in there, but really have to really, really rethink that, because in most places, I know downtown St. Paul, when you go into the courthouse, you got to go through metal detectors and all those things. And so it just makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so sad that this is the day and age, in this day and age, that people have our fear of their lives.
Yeah. Well, State Senator, thank you so much for being on, as always, on our Fridays here. Very important. People love to hear your conversation and what you have to say. So thank you so much and have a great weekend.
Mm-hmm. Tok sha'ake, everybody.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next to Wendy with our sacred animal portion. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
Kiergan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we have Wendy Pilot on. She is our sacred animal portion of the show. Wendy's been on for many years. She's a co-founder of Native Roots Radio, and we're always great to it's always great to have you on, if I could talk here, Wendy. Welcome.
Thanks, Robert. In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So,
Easy to say, too. Mm-hmm.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
A couple of things here today. Reminder, a car ride with the windows down is a great enrichment for anxious and reactive dogs.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you have an anxious or a reactive dog, get them in the car, put the window down and let them, like, the air fly in the air and let them smell all the smells.
Aren't all dogs reactional?
I don't think so. No, we have a reactionary dog.
We have always had a reactionary dog.
We've never had a normal one, have we? There's plenty of dogs that walk down the street and are fine. They don't bark at people. They don't bark at other dogs. They're calm. Mm. We see them all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's fine. I mean, we just, you know, Wanda's great. We love her.
She is.
And it's funny, you know, there's an article here that I'm trying to bring up. I have a subscription to the Washington Post and I saved this article. But now, of course, the firewall comes up, you know, the paywall comes up and I'm signing in, but I can't remember my password. But anyway, The article, I'll just do like what I can remember about reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the Washington Post. It was just the other day. Why skipping your dog's walk is a bigger deal than you think. And this is from the Washington Post. And it really talked
guilt
about
coming my way.
It is guilt. Yeah. Because, you know, it talked about this, you know, these people whose landlord put a fence in their backyard and they were really happy about it because they were like, oh, great. Now I could just let my dog go out and pee and come back in the house. But then they, you know, the people felt guilty because they weren't getting the dog out for its regular walk, you know, and it really talked about how getting your dog exercise is really important. But the most important thing is to let your dog look around at its environment and sniff.
Wow.
Sniffing is like totally so important for their behavior, their emotional well-being, their stress levels, and just letting them sniff. Now, you know, sometimes Wanda will stop and sniff and she'll sniff and sniff. It's like, okay, she's got a good smell. And I kind of leave her. I really do. I really do.
You've trained me to, too.
I will just leave her because I know that, you know, she's really having a great time sniffing whatever she's smelling. And then sometimes she rolls around in it. And I'm like, oh, geez, what the heck is that? But anyway, just let your dog sniff. It's really, really good. I read another article. It wasn't this particular one, but another one. And it was just like letting your dog just like sniff around is like letting it's like a mile walk for them, you know, the excitement that they feel everything. Yeah.
And you schooled me on that. And that's, I always make sure that I let our four-legged relatives sniff now.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, when we walk, a lot of times we'll see people pulling their dog, you know, not letting them sniff. Yeah. I mean, we don't know if they've already been out on an hour walk and the dog sniffed a million things and they have to get back home. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen to this one. I love this. In Japan, technology and compassion come together to protect wildlife. Trains now play sounds that mimic deer snorts and dog barks, preventing wildlife from crossing the tracks.
Huh.
Yeah, by using these animal-friendly sounds, train operators are reducing deer collisions by 45%, helping to protect both wildlife and passengers. This innovative approach reminds us that even the simplest changes can have significant environmental impacts.
Wow.
Yeah, so what they do is the trains use speakers that snort like deer for 3 seconds, then bark like dogs for 20 seconds. Yeah, and that scare the deer off the track. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm really happy about this one, too. Sweden has officially become the first country in the world to go 100% cage-free for egg-laying hens.
Wow.
Yeah, freeing 17 million birds from a life behind bars. No more cramped wire cages. I'm so excited about this. I can't even say wire. No more standing on metal floors, just fresh air, open space, and the right to be a chicken. This is like really huge for animal welfare. And I hope that other countries and states and anywhere who, you know, I mean, these poor factory farmed animals are just too much, but hey, go Sweden. I think that's pretty good.
That is great.
I really do. Yeah. So I have some questions you want to read. You want me to read them and you can answer them? Since this is kind of like a fun fact Friday. A lot of them you've heard before, so I bet you can. And I think these are kind of easy. So this might be not so challenging anyway.
Sure.
I'm going to try to give you the question without giving you the answers and see if you know it first.
Oh, geez.
What is the only male animal that becomes pregnant? I'm going to kind of just give it to you like that. And if you need help,
I need help.
All right. I'll give you a donkey.
No.
Platypus.
Yes.
Seahorse.
Oh, seahorse for sure.
Seahorse. Yep.
For sure.
Ding, 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 ding. Seahorse. Oh. Yep.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. I love that you have those buttons. Which animal doesn't make any sound?
Yeah. Give me a hint.
A rabbit? A fish or a bull?
A rabbit.
Fish. The answer is fish.
They make bubbly sounds.
It's probably because they're breathing out of their gills, but no. Yeah. Okay.
That was a trick question.
This is a hard one. Which animal has the strongest sense of smell? I'll give you three.
Mm-hmm.
A bloodhound,
yeah.
A polar bear, or an elephant.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I was going to say a bloodhound.
Bloodhound, polar bear, or elephant. No, it's a polar bear. Yeah. I would have thought bloodhound as well. Yeah.
The elephant has a long nose, so.
I know, right? This is a kind of a fun one. We've talked about this before. I'm going to see if you could remember this.
Oh, geez.
Which animal gives pink milk?
Pink milk? Come on, give me a hint.
Okay, a camel. A hippopotamus or a kangaroo?
Oh, kangaroo.
No, it's hippopotamus. A hippopotamus gives pink milk. And when they sweat pink sweat. Mm-hmm.
That's the one I was looking
for. Oh, is that the one you look? Baby, you have to have
when
those.
When I miss it.
You have to have those marked. Do you have them marked?
I do.
Okay.
Just not organized today.
What animal dies after mating?
Oh, I should know this. Give me the hint.
Okay. Octopus,
no.
A bee, or a bat?
Jeez, it's not an octopus. How about a bee?
A bee, yes. It's a bee. You got it.
Well, we got 30 seconds. Give me a quick one.
Okay. What is the largest animal on Earth?
A whale.
The blue whale.
The blue one, yes.
Yeah, you got to say the blue one because other whales are small.
Yes.
Which animal does not...
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to Tom Nelson about his new book, comparing the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to how the economy has been turning against its workers.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Emory University campus shooter opened fire on at least four buildings of the nearby Federal Centers for Disease Control, says the head of the CDC. The shooter is dead, so is DeKalb County, Georgia officer wounded by the gunfire, says County Police Chief Greg Padrick.
He was committed to serving the community. At this time, we're asking for the community's prayers for his family, his friends, his loved ones, and the entire DeKalb County Police Department family.
Police in southwest Montana say they've arrested Michael Brown, accused of killing four people at a bar in Anaconda a week ago. The wildfire in mountains north of Los Angeles threatening homes is 25% contained, says the Ventura County Fire Department. President Trump says he'll meet a week from today in Alaska with Russian President Putin. The FBI announces the death of William Webster, former FBI director at 101. He headed the FBI from 1978 to 87. This is ABC News.